Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So today is a bittersweet day for a lot of us. Really. So thank you for attending the past two SEMs of Staff Dev with us. I hope that you learned a lot from the past two SEMs that we've spent with each other. Okay. So we're excited to have your presbytery later in the afternoon. So, oo, nag-back out si Pastor Jojo. Ayan, so today actually, we'll spend the morning session to talk about family values. We have two speakers, Pastor Ariel and Pastor CJ. And then you'll have your lunch. Ano bang ganap nyo sa lunch? Meron bang mini program? Ano siguro, let's go around na lang. And if there's one, kumbaga the past two SEMs with Staff Dev, ano yung lesson that you think really had an impact sa inyong buhay, ganyan. Pwedeng organizational, relational, spiritual, ganyan. Start tayo. Siyempre, class president, sir.
Oh, sige,
would you like to open the session?
Yep, walang gayahan ah. Inside out transformation. Bakit? Walang gayahan. Of course, it's revealing your idols na you think, you thought that hindi pala before na parang ah okay naman ako kay God pero but then when Pastor Paul parang discussed everything talagang talagang may nudging and tugging in your heart na parang naparepent ka bigla. Victory Weekend 2.0, that's it.
Okay,
then I'll pass the mic to Mike.
Well, sa akin sana yun din yung sagot ko yung inside of transformation. Well, it had a very great impact sa ano kasi at least it provides you a clearer view also na parang and a reminder also na parang it's a heart thing, it's not just a something that we all practice also na ano. So,
okay, from this yung mic po na kay mauna na si Tita Wena.
Yeah, lahat naman kasi ng tinuro sa atin ay napakaganda, napakagaling kasi tried and tested nyo na. Pero sa akin ang memorable ay yung I've gained two new good friends, yung friends talaga yung right definition ng friendship. Hindi yung dati nagbabatian lang kami sa hallway, sa assembly hall. Hi. Ngayon. Yeah. Araw-araw na tayo nakikita sa QC eh. Pero ito talaga, two new lovable friends.
Okay.
Group hug.
Okay, okay. Anyone else? Madge?
Sa pilitan. For me, I agree with Tita Wena. Many of the sessions were really helpful, and I'm thankful that we were part of this. Pero, enough ko na. Pero one thing that really stood out for me was yung Pastor Jure's talk on faith. Kasi, it's very foundational at the same time, something that parang we often forget. So being reminded, it was very powerful, number one, and number two, parang yung application, sobrang na-challenge talaga ako to increase yung faith that we have and na at the end of the day, character siya ni God eh, not just about us.
Okay, meron pang pahabol? O okay na kayo? Ryan. Last.
Yun.
Yung ano siya.
Favorite mo yung kay Sir Ramon.
Apa, sa akin.
Good.
Ano
na yung cash flow, ganyan.
Sa akin yung ano, yung general manager's mindset. Yung structure, process, people. Tsaka yung ano, Family Values by Pastor Ariel Marquez.
Yun na. Oo. Gusto mo mang lumipat sa Alabang? May opening ba tayo doon? So, since sinabi na ni Ryan, we're thankful na you all had your parang your share of getting impartation from our apostolic leaders, even our pastors, even with Sir Alex and Sir Ramon Garcia. Okay, very excited kami dun sa session na yun. So,
pahabol lang, baka we might not have this opportunity, but I guess we all enjoy it. But at the same time, I think it's appropriate that we also acknowledge our HR team. Yeah, yeah. From Miss Pinky, Miss Karen, Giselle, Eros, the whole HR team. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Angelo, thank you. Ipaparinig namin to kay Miss Pinky mamaya. So, good job. Makakarating. Okay. Okay. Sige. So I want to introduce our speaker for today. Pastor Ariel is actually. Yes, we know. Yes, he's here. Ganyan. Yes, from Victory Alabang. Just a little info about him. Many may not know that he actually started working in the ministry as our finance and business manager. He graduated from LaSalle and he's actually a CPA. Ayan. So, si Pastor A, para siyang meron siyang background sa admin before transitioning to pastoral. So, he's been our senior pastor and he's also our Victory Hub leader for the South Hub. And his area of ministry is really on family, marriage, and finance. So, I hope that you're as excited as day one, kahit na this is our last day, to hear from our speakers and that you would really open your minds, your ears, and your hearts to hear from Pastor Ariel and Pastor CJ later. So, let's welcome Pastor A. Acito.
Thanks, Giselle. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
All right, last day nyo ngayon, ha? So, behave kayo. Hindi, dito si Jex, so hindi yan behave. Okay, can we just open up with a word of prayer? Father, thank you so much for this morning. We ask that you would bless our time. Even as we talk about family, we thank you, Lord God, that this is really what's in your heart, Lord God, that you want to impart to this class today. Thank you, Lord God, for just a time, Lord God, of impartation. Thank you for a time of just even changing of mindsets, Lord God. We commit to you this time. Holy Spirit, anoint these sessions, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be able to teach in this class. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Actually, this particular topic is really something that's special in my heart. I don't know. Basically, because siguro nag-start ako as a family pastor after, well, Giselle mentioned that I came from a background of admin. When Pastor Steve talked to me to become part of the staff, when was that? 1991. Yung basta yun, hindi pa yata buhay nun, ano? I was an accountant in a private company and then I moved to Victory. I remember dalawa pa lang church natin nun, U-Belt and Makati, and he offered me if I can run the finances of the two churches. So it was easy then. What we are doing right now is a bit more complicated, so... and I salute the team that we have right now in admin. And you guys are really amazing. I see you coming from different departments, from communication, from IT. Is there anybody from finance here? Yeah, okay. And, of course, HR and some other from the other churches. But it was a bit easy then. But now we have a bit more bigger structure and operation. But I believe the same values is still intact. Same principles that we have been living by is still there. And what attracted me before in Victory is really the sense of purpose and the message on family. And so this is really something that's dear to my heart. So we're going to be talking about the spiritual value or the core value of family. I'm sure that all of you are familiar. Now, how many of you are married here in this place? Please raise your hand. Married? Okay, by faith, si Jack. Okay, married with kids, please raise your hand. Okay, sino yung mga single? Hoping to be married someday. Yan, kuha na mo ng picture to, Lord. What a nice view. Yan, bigyan mo sila ng kanilang mga future husbands and wives. Okay. Okay, so we're really talking about family, and I remember when I started coming to church 1986, this particular message on family just reverberated in my heart because I remember Pastor Steve nung may buhok pa siya doon. At saka si William was merely 1 year old yata lang siya noon eh. He was talking about he was preaching and teaching on the subject of parenting. And I was a student then. My brother Bernard, both of us have this younger sibling, sister, who's about 14 years ang gap, no? Si Christine. And so, parang napapansin namin na hindi masyadong disiplinado si Christine, parang na-spoil si ni Daddy. So we were thinking, is it possible for us as brothers to discipline our sister? So yun yung mga tanong namin kay Pastor Steve. Sabi niya, no, you have no authority at all to do that. But ang kailangan niyong gawin is just to influence your sister. And so, earlier in our walk with the Lord, we were so exposed with message on family, parenting, and we don't really come from perfect families, but somehow it's really interesting, and we're grateful that we're able to see this lived by our pastors. And the message that they teach from the pulpit is really consistent with how they live their lives. Kung ano tinuturo nila sa pulpit, somehow nakikita ko talaga when they were talking about parenting and child training. I remember one time when we were in the office, I was a volunteer then. I think it was Deborah who brought William to the small room, and I heard that she was disciplining William. And the way she disciplined William was really amazing because nakita kong, narinig kong umiyak, hindi ko nakita, no? I was just hearing it from chismoso, you know? Narinig kong pinapalo niya. No? Of course, may konting lakas, but after that, the process of restoration, the process of affirmation, the process of showing love, sabi ko, kakaiba to ah. Because I grew up in a very disciplinarian home wherein my dad would use a belt. Sino sa inyo ang ginamitan ng belt? Or takong? Or buckle, okay? Masakit yun, okay? Ako naman yung regular na ano, yung leather. But still, you know, we were given the discipline, but there's no restoration, there's no affirmation after. Parang pagkatapos doon, hindi mo alam kung galit pa sa'yo tatay mo o hindi, no? Pero ito, when I saw this particular process and method, sabi ko, wow, bati sila. William is so secure after the giving of the discipline. And yet, sabi ko, well, this is something I want to see in my own family. So early on in my single life, I had this deposit. And so when I finally got married, by the way, this is the picture of my wife. Many of you are probably familiar with Shirley. She's the wife of my youth. We've been married for 24 years, almost 25 next year. So we're celebrating silver anniversary in 2015. We got married in 1919, so we've been married for 24 years already. And we were 22 years old when we got married. Fairly young. And I remember when we were 21, nung na-engage nga kami, my mom and my dad were not really that excited. But they were already members of our church at that time. So, I guess it's a blessing that we were able to get married young. Now, if you are not yet married and you are now no longer 22, okay pa rin yun, okay? I'm not in any way espousing na kailangan 20 plus kasal. Pero somehow, it's been a blessing that we were able to start young as a family or as a couple because may nangyari sa family namin. No? I'm going to explain it later on. These are my children. These are my three girls. I have a 22-year-old whose name is Bea. She's working already. She's officially a taxpayer. And she's been working since last year. She works in 360. It's actually a media house. She's the creative director there. Medyo young na promote siya lang this year. And then she's also the colorist. And she loves traveling, so she's been in and out. My next daughter is Anna. She just turned 9 last week. And she's a bit irritated with the youngest, Andrea, because si Andrea makulit yan eh. So si Anna is a bit the fashionista. Si Andrea yung clown, the one who loves to eat. Okay, si Andrea yung bunso ko, no? And sabi nga ni Anna, Andrea, if don't worry, you know, if Ate Bea gets married soon, I'm gonna take over her room. So pinaplano niya na yung ano, yung take over ng room niya. No? Bea is actually well, we're in this party situation right now na medyo nagkakaroon na siya ng relationship. For the first time, there's a boy that came to our house and medyo talagang hindi ko alam paano ko i-deal yun, ano? But paglilinisin ko siguro ng kotse, no? Pero, you know, this particular boy was, ano naman, was courageous enough to ask permission if he could court Bea. Okay, so yun naman ang nangyari sa amin. No? So we had an experience of this boy sitting down with us, with me and Shirley, and really becoming so brave enough, no, na bago niya ligawan si Bea, nagtapat, okay, of his intention if he can actually pursue my daughter. And si Bea naman somehow liked him, and so they're in the process now of getting to know each other. I think they're, of course, they're, you can label it as boyfriend, girlfriend, but they're not really that serious yet because they're really looking for, you know, a nice, you know, marriage in the future. But, syempre sa akin, conditional pa rin yun, ano? It's not yes until it's over. But the guy loves Jesus, and I remember when he first approached me and Shirley, sabi nga niya ganun, is it possible for me to be able to court your daughter? Eh, sabi ko sa kanya, I have two conditions. First of all, I don't want my daughter to move to another church because he comes from another church. And sabi niya, sir, no problem because next week I'm gonna be here in your church. So nagpaalam siya sa pastor niya that same week, and he said goodbye to the pastor, and he started attending our church in Alabang. And so I regularly see them there. Second condition that I actually told him is, sabi ko, I am very strict with standards in our house and in our family. And sabi ko, I don't want any exchange of bodily fluids. So I was very specific. So medyo, oh, maski napawis, Wina, maski napawis, bawal di kita ng anak ko. Parang gano'n. So I was explaining, bahala ka na maging creative kung ano sabihin ng bodily fluids, but, you know, no holding hands, no kissing. So anyway, agree sila pareho. And sabi ko, sige, you can start knowing my daughter. And so, yan. So this is my family. I have three girls. Maybe some of you are wondering why there's a big gap between Bea, who's 22, and my daughter, Anna, who's 9. Because I also had a son, Jerome. And Jerome actually had a sickness 10 years ago, and he passed away because of TB meningitis. He was 8 years old. That was his picture when he was 8 years old. I think yung right side yun is the last Asian Invasion Conference pa yan eh. And so that was the Asian Invasion Conference, I think, in 2003. That's the last Asian Invasion, and then he got sick that year, and then he unfortunately passed away. So that's a big gap. So Bea's 22, Jerome would have been 18 if he's alive today. And we stopped there. Okay, so huminto kami because we had a boy and a girl, so sabi namin, hinto na tayo. But then when Jerome passed away, I think it was Pastor Jim Lafoon who gave a prophetic word in a pastor's conference in Baguio that same year, 2004, after us burying Jerome. And he gave us a prophetic word that you're going to have two more arrows in your quiver, and you know, God's going to replace your grief with joy. And so the next year, Anna was born. And so that's really the story of our family. And thus, siguro nga, the reason why we married earlier is because of what's, you know, somehow God has foreseen this is going to happen. So it changed the whole plan that we have. I envisioned that at the age of 48, I'm going to be, you know, semi-retiring. Parang ganun, di ba? Kasi nga, 48, tapos na si Jerome from college, I'm going to enjoy the time with Shirley doing ministry. Parang ganun na lang, focus na lang ako sa ministry. But now I'm 46. And I have two more daughters. So nag-change ako ng time. Okay? So now close to 60 ang tapos ng dalawa. So how many of you know that God has His perfect timing and He knows the plans that He has for us? And so that's really family. I guess, you know, having two more daughters at our age, medyo nakakapagpabata yun because once again, we wanted to go back to Disneyland. And so medyo okay rin yan. All right. I think we're all familiar with our values, di ba? We have 5 core values in Victory. What are those 5? Lordship, if you're still familiar with that. Evangelism, discipleship, leadership development, and family. And when you talk about family, family actually is about 2 things. We have the natural family and we have the spiritual family. And I think when you talk about family, it's a value that we have kept for many years. And I think from day one, Steve has had this in his heart. No? There's no conflict in putting the 2 lists of values that we have in our movement. I love making disciples. And at the same time, I love raising up families. And I love actually ministering to families. We've probably heard of this statement, we will never sacrifice family at the altar of success or ministry. You probably heard of that. Steve has always mentioned before, we don't believe in disposable relationships. And so these are some of the values that we've had for many years. And that family and ministry should never compete with each other. You know, if you want a basic definition of family, family is really a man married to a woman who both raise children together. That's a basic definition. We all know that nowadays, the family institution is under attack by the world. No? And so there are so many things that are being said about the family and about this institution, and so many people from different sides or point of view, that they're saying that this definition of family is very limiting. Why is it limited to just a man and a woman? Bakit hindi pwedeng parehong lalaki o parehong babae? Why is it only limited to people who are married? Why can you not raise a family if you're not married? And so, you know, if you look at the basic design of family, of course, we know the basic design of family is it was God who initiated family. And the family that we now have is really the biblical form of family. But nowadays, you know, the world is just a bit more complicated. And mas maraming ideology that is being espoused out there. No? Giving a set of relationship even to the title of family is now defined as like the ultimate validation. In fact, even companies, you know, pag sinasabi mong, we operate like a family, it's supposed to be a positive thing. Diba? Kunwari if you have clubs or I think even in the military, pag sinabi mong family unit, parang alam mo, tight yan. You know, there's a sense of identity. There's a sense of purpose. And even sports team. Now the family is now under attack. Okay, we know that outside, because here in Victory, somehow we have this insulation that, you know, you always hear family, you always hear the message of family, you always hear, and I don't know where you came from or which, you know, what kind of family background you came from, but somehow we are not immune to the thing that's happening out there. You know, the reality is there's a lot of broken homes that's happening out there. No? Medyo mainit ang... Okay lang ba? Sorry. Pwede patayin na lang natin itong ano. Ayan, okay. Sorry, medyo nainitan ako sa spotlight. Eh. Okay. There's a massive attack on family. Satan has declared war on family. We see a breakdown of the institution of family in society. But as the family crumbles, the society will also follow. We know that the basic unit of society is the family. Alam naman natin yun, di ba? That the smallest battle formation that we have right now is really the family. It's the home. Diba? And the stronger the families are, the stronger the society will be, and vice versa. But there are some of those that are carving out a tombstone for the family. In fact, in the book entitled Death by Family, or Death of the Family, a British physician is suggesting the eradication of family completely because it is the primary conditioning device for a Western imperialistic worldview. Can you imagine such thinking? Gusto niya tanggalin yung family because para sa kanya, imperialistic daw yung family. Okay? And there are people who are thinking this way. Para sa kanila, family is an organized institution that is meant to cover the world. And that's really the design of God. Okay? The design of God to really cover the world with His glory. Kate Millett, a feminist writer, wrote a book called Sexual Politics. And she said that the family must go because it oppresses and enslaves women. Now, we don't know what background she has. Baka naman, you know, battered wife siya, di ba? Or mamaya, iniwan siya ng asawa niya. Or maybe, baka nga ginawa siyang slave ng asawa niya. So, she has this perspective or mindset that family is very limited, or the marriage is a way for men to use women. Or probably she grew up in a family like that, looking at her dad that abused probably her mom, and just an observation. And you know, Mrs. T. Grace Atkinson, who's very influential in the U.S., she is part of the national, I think she's the head of the National Organization of Women. And this is what she writes about family. She seeks to eliminate, can you imagine this, all sex, all marriage, all motherhood, and all love. Yeah. I mean, that's how crazy the world is out there. You know, you look at all this different ideology and philosophy about family, parang feeling natin, saan galing yun, di ba? Because for us, it's so normal for us to just be together, to love, to be kind, to, you know, to humble ourselves, say sorry, to be united, to overlook an offense. For us, it's our culture. But out there, when you start ministering to the world out there, it's just so different. Especially in the Western world. I think the Philippines is becoming very Westernized in the area of this just open-mindedness with this ideology. And she said the marriage is a legalized servitude, and family relations are the basis of all human oppression. Yan, galing yan kay Mrs. T. Grace Atkinson. In fact, you mentioned the word family, and the adjective that is quickly attached to family is dysfunctional. Diba nowadays, no? Parang pag nakita mong family, there are mas maraming tama kaysa sa, mas maraming mali kaysa sa tama. In fact, there's such a high divorce rate that is not just found in the U.S., but even in the Philippines. We don't have divorce here. We have annulment. But really, annulment is a glorified form of divorce. Di ba? And it's said that over 50% of children grow up right now in a broken family. I mean, if you look at the society in general, there is such a massive attack on the family. Absentee fathers, infidelity at home, divorce, abortion, the propagation of living in, I think nowadays they call it shacking up. You heard of that term, shack up? Hindi shut up, okay? Shacking up, you know, but binahay mo, nagbahay ka ng isang, you know. And even in our own churches, when we would minister, you know, even after the services, some people would come during the altar calls, and they would just readily say, Pastor, can we seek for counsel? Because we've been together for many years. And if you look closely, they're not even married. And they have children. And they've been in church for many years. And they're not doing anything about it. No? Somehow, out of convenience, people are living together without the commitment that a family unit has. No? With the rise of the BPOs, we see so much convenience of you know, premarital sex happening out there, fornication happening in the workplace, no? And so this is just a reality out there. Women's liberation is not so much here. I think it's gaining grounds. Children's homosexuality, somehow it's got a new meaning, especially in the U.S. LGBT is a new like a foundation or a movement that is being accepted now in the U.S. They have their own flags and they have their own rights and organizations. And so these are a group of the lesbians, gays, the transgender, and LGBT, bisexual. Okay, and so the results are increasing in the area of, you know, like you see a lot of single-parent homes. Not only in the Western world, but even our society right now. Kids out of control, you know, lack of discipline, turmoil, violence in school. I think it hasn't really reached our shores. But in America, parang just so normal for kids just shooting each other in the school. You know, it's a rage that's happening among the young people because of the lack of covering in the family, no? There's a lack of family models, role models in society, and I think that's where the church comes in. And one of the impressions that I had when we first attended churches, dito napansin ko, there's a lot of men that are up in front worshiping the Lord. You know, because I grew up in a, of course, I think most of us grew up in the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, I think it's a church for mostly women and older women, particularly, di ba? Naalala ko, going to church para mas maraming babae, mas matatandang babae na nag-a-attend ng church. No? But when I was in high school, I remember volunteering as a an altar boy. So I was part of church. You know, I grew up in the church and I'm very active in the church serving as an altar boy. And so makikita mo talaga pagka yung pare sinaservan ko tapos nagbibigay siya ng communion, body of Christ. You know, you can actually count the number of women coming forward. Hindi ko alam kung bakit, mas makasalanan ba yung lalaki? Hindi sila nagko-communion parang ganoon or talagang walang lalaki, no? But in our church, somehow, when I, you know, as a young believer, I noticed that there's a lot of young men that are up front, you know, worshiping the Lord, radically saved, you know, and even fathers carrying their babies up front. I think it was a deliberate effort on Steve's part because he noticed that this is a matriarchal society. That's why deliberately, hinaharap talaga niya yung lalaki so that we can really influence, no? Men to lead in their homes. I think you will all agree with me that God values family, diba? And you know this whole idea of family really comes from His heart. He designed us to live in families. Family relations are important to God, and that's why, you know, one of the things that we hear, even some parents of Victory, say about their young people is, balansehin din natin yung activities natin. No? Because I see young people that are so committed in church, but they're not found in their homes. And, you know, you see people that are really radically saved, they're part of the youth group, they're serving in church, but they're rarely seen at home. Their impact is not felt at home. Their impact is only felt in the church, but nowhere found in the home. So I believe there has to be a balance in both, because the first thing that our young people need to influence is really their family. Ganun naman talaga yun eh. You know, when I got saved at the age of 18, I remember 1 week later, my brother got saved. And I share, you know, it's like Andrew calling Peter. Sabi ko sa kanya, bro, I found, parang ganun, sabi ni Andrew kay Peter, I found the Messiah. I found the church, you know. I found the church that's really for us. And, you know, the next week, I brought Bernard to the church, and he got saved, radically saved. Now, me and Bernard are quite different growing up. Ako yung parang maayos, yung nag-aaral, ganun. Ako yung mas matino. Siya yung parang, si Bernard kasama sa Litro Boys, okay? We have a gang in our subdivision called Litro Boys. I don't know what that means, if it's Coke Litro or Alcoholic Litro, okay? But, you know, he's with that gang. And my mom and my dad has always been frustrated with him. Now, when he got saved, sabi ng mami tsaka daddy ko, there must be a God. Kasi talaga, radical, biglang nagbago, umuwi siya dati, sumisimple, dati hindi siya umuwi ng bahay. But then, you know, when he got saved and when both of us got saved, my parents said, okay, I don't really agree with where you're going, but somehow I like what I see in you. I like what I see in your life. Biglang nag-aral si Bernard. Biglang he's present in the home. He's checking in. Biglang, you know, his changed life is being felt not only in the church, but even at home. And guess what? 3 months later, my parents got saved because of that. You know, of course, we were not directly the ones who preached the gospel to them, but somehow it was easy for them to be open to people who are Christians, who invited them to a meeting. And in that meeting, they gave their lives to the Lord because they understood what happened to us. Because we are the first ministers to our parents. So you'll find out that family is really very important. It's a connector. You cannot just connect in church. I believe that even the young people that we are ministering right now, they can actually connect. And at that time, 1986, 1984, the composition, the population of our church is mostly 90% young people. Very rare ka makakita ng parents doon. Out of place sila. Pero, you know, in 86, when we started Makati, you know, pumasok na sila, parents ko, mommy, daddy, Tito Bomboy, Tito Vicky, parents of Pastor Julius. naalala mo ba yun? Okay. Pero kids church ka pa nun, di ba? So it was a nice sight to see that even older people are now coming to church because of the young people that ministered to them. Ganun ang nangyayari, ano? Baliktad. That's why, you know, even in the heart, I believe in the heart of God, He values family. He calls even His church the family of God. Diba? That's how much He values family. The Trinity reveals family. I mean, if you look at the Godhead, you know, the name of the Trinity, the three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and the Mother. Hindi, hindi, the Holy Spirit, diba? Hindi Mother si Holy Spirit, okay? So you see that there's family titles, diba? There's so much unity and community. There's a beautiful community within the Trinity. They value the family. They value relationships. That's why I believe that when you talk about family, it's all about protecting and guarding these relationships that we have. The Bible begins with a marriage in Genesis, and it will also end in a marriage in the book of Revelation. I mean, you see that entirely in the whole scripture, it permeates, family permeates the scripture. You will not find just bits and pieces of family in one verse, and you will not find it in another story. But you'll find that from the beginning of time, God used a family to bring His blessing to the nations. And that's Adam and Eve, diba? Marriage and family are God's first ideas. It's not an afterthought. From the very first time that He created man, He designed them to be in families. He designed them to be in communities and in relationships. Okay? The theme of family permeates all of Scripture. Marriage and family are central to God's work in our nation. God designed the family to be the birthplace and the nursery of Christianity. It is the place where the fear of God and the love of God are taught and experienced. I believe that the family is the best cradle or the birthing place wherein you introduce family values to young children. You know, and I remember Shirley sharing having the opportunity to share the gospel when she was giving Bea a bath. No, I think Bea was about 4 or 5 years old during that time. And I think, I need to be accurate with this. Para nakita yata ni Bea, I think the soap suds formed a cross. And wala lang, parang accidentally lang, hindi to mystical, okay? Accidentally, and she was asking, what's the cross? You know, what do you mean by the cross? And so, Shirley took that as a jumping point to introduce the cross and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And right there and then, Bea got saved, okay? Of course, seeds were sown, di ba? We were, you know, we've been constantly reading the scriptures to her, praying for her, until one day when she was ready, we just basically, you know, led her to Christ, no? So I believe that in our family, it is the birthing place of Christianity, not in the church. I think the starting point where the kids should find Christ should be in the home. Ito talaga yun eh. Dito talaga nila makikita. This is where they validate the reality of Christianity, in the home. And only parang seconded in the church. You know, the first experience of the fear of God and love and acceptance and forgiveness should actually be found in the home. Okay, it is the place where humility is modeled, you know, between mom and dad. You know, kids should be able to see that. You know, and I find myself many times, you know, asking for forgiveness from my daughter, you know, for whatever. Okay, because they, you know, I want to show them that you don't have a perfect dad. But I want to also show you that, you know, because of God's love and because of God's mercy, we're together as a family. And so, may mga ganon. Minsan, papaluin ko sila. You know, and we've taught this, di ba? You do not discipline your children out of anger. But how many of you know sometimes, pagpagod ka, minsan nadudulas ka, di ba? Pagka pumalo ka, parang hindi mo mapigilan, di ba? So I had to come before them and really ask for forgiveness. You know, I said sorry for what I've done. You know, and you know what's good about young children is they don't keep grudges. Parang ang bilis nila magpatawad, you know. At a young age, you know, these children are really just so pliable. Their hearts are so soft, and it's just so easy to teach them, you know, forgiveness, repentance, and so on and so forth. This is, you know, the family or the home is where sacrificial love is demonstrated. In order for them to understand what Jesus Christ did on the cross sacrificially, I think that sacrificial love can be modeled by the parents. Diba? And, you know, I guess in my house, ako yung ano eh, being the only man in the house. Parang ako yung taya, no? And so, you know, now, if, for example, if my two young daughters would go to the bathroom, they would go and do number two, okay? Hulaan nyo kung sino tatawagin nila para magpunas. It's not the mom. It's the dad. Sabi ko sa kanila, ba't ba ako lagi yung tinatawag pagka number two, okay? I will love you. You know, parang hindi ko alam kung gusto nila akong utuin or, you know, they're picking up on me. But somehow, you know, sanay na akong pumunas, okay? And I know how it is to, you know, to really serve my daughters. From them to Shirley, you know, it's something that I find joy in doing, di ba? You know, something that you do when you sacrifice for your children or for your family, I think it becomes a part of you. And so they will catch that, okay, growing up. The family is the place where character is planted, nourished, and grown. You know, very basic. You know, this is where your kids or our kids or maybe single people, your kids in the future, will find that in your home, this is the place where actually they can, you know, being taught the character of Christ. Not in kids' church, not in preschool, but in the home. Okay, that's why it's very important for us to have a very good foundation of family. It is the place where civility and respect for God and others are learned. The family is the place where one generation passes the gospel to the next generation. It is really where I believe God has given us the mandate to really take seriously our role as parents, no? In the family. Far it be said of our next generation, if you know, in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10, you know, this is one of the saddest statements or verses that you can find in the Bible. It says, after that generation had died, that Joshua generation, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he has done for Israel. You know, what a sad statement, you know, a sad state. I think the reason why Pastor Steve wrote the book 100 Years From Now is because of, you know, such. No? He does not want any gaps or any breakdown in the passing of the baton from one generation to the next. And if that's the heart of our founder in the church, I think that's also the heart of every parent to their children in the family. Dapat ganun talaga. We need to be careful because I think the family is really the gospel connector to the next generation. A Christian family is God's smallest battle formation for the soul of every nation. It's you know, it's a platoon. Eh? You know, it's if you look at your family, it's a platoon. You know, when you have devotions, when you, like for example, this coming Christmas, I think we have a tradition, diba, in our churches to have a Christmas tradition seminar, diba, yung or family tradition seminar, whatever, or Christmas tradition seminar. Some do it every year, some do it every other year. But, you know, even as early as now, our wives, the pastor's wives are planning already, you know, what to do for that. No? So they're finding ways on how to make it very creative in order for the families to have a great time, you know, just sharing family traditions together. No? If the soul of this nation must be redeemed and restored, it must be done one home at a time. I believe the family is God's first choice to be the generational connector of the gospel, as I said earlier. There's a Chinese proverb that says, it is harder to lead a family than to rule a nation. I think that's true. No? You cannot export something that's not working at home. In order for you to be able to lead, whether it's an organization, a church, you know, if you're an elected official, even leading a barangay, it has to start leading your home. Ang hirap nun eh. First, it's hard to lead your wife, di ba? especially if you have a very strong one, di ba? And if you have a strong creative one, yun lang challenge na, di ba? And then you lead your kids. And I think the best way to lead them is to really model and be an example of Christ to them. I remember the story of Pastor Steve that he shared many, many years ago, which he also wrote in the book, 100 Years. No? When he was learning about cell ministry and prayer. Remember that story with, when he went to Korea? Maybe some of you have heard of that. But you know, I remember when Pastor Luther and Pastor Steve, many years back, went to attend a conference in South Korea. And the biggest church at that time is the church of Yoida Church, Pastor Paul or David Yonggi Cho. I think it's it numbered about 1 million members. Okay, their specialty is cell groups and prayers. So si Pastor Steve and Pastor Luther went there to have an impartation to really learn. We are in our growth stage. I think it's early 90s, and they wanted to learn how to, you know, put in the, you know, the infrastructure of cell groups here. And there were about 700 pastors in that conference from 25 different nations. And so Pastor Paul Yonggi Cho was teaching on prayer first. And, you know, with his Korean accent, sabi niya lagi, I pray and I obey. Yeah. So he'd always mention those two words, I pray and I obey. And so what's your secret in your church growth? I pray and I obey. And so yun lagi sinasabi niya, ganun, no? Prayer and obedience. And so, and you see the power of prayer of the Koreans. Eh? But talaga pag nag-pray sila, pag nagtasa sa isa, I observed that firsthand. Another thing is about cell ministry. And somebody, I think, questioned him about, you know, how do you keep a balance between ministry and family? And so this is what he said. If you're asking me how to keep a balance between my ministry, that is a growing church, and my family, I don't know. And he answered this, I don't know. For the first time in 30 years, me and my family will have a family vacation. Sabi niyang ganon. And his kids are all grown up. Sabi niyang ganon, you know, it's sad that my kids have no vivid memory of us growing up together and having vacations. And then he said this last statement that really shocked Pastor Steve. And he said, I failed as a father. Before 700 people in that conference, he said, I failed as a father. And somehow this particular line, I failed, I failed, I failed, reverberated in the heart of Pastor Steve. Went back to his room. He knelt down before God and he said, Lord, may we never fail in our families in the way we do ministry. That's why from day one, sabi niya ganun, we will never have that kind of philosophy in the way we do ministry. We will never sacrifice our families at the altar of ministry and at the altar of success. And I think even, I think a few months before that, he was interviewing one pastor from Manila, of a fairly big church at that time, 8,000 members. I don't know which particular church. Maybe the one in Makati. And he was asking, how did you grow this big? You know, he's seeing so many people attending his church. And this pastor said to him, you know, I did this with a lot of sacrifice. And Pastor Steve, when he heard the word sacrifice, he's ready to hear what kind of sacrifice that is. So parang sabi, sige, I'm willing to sacrifice anything to seek church growth, no? And then this pastor said, you know, this church grew because of the cost of my family. You know, and he basically what he's saying is, you know, he sacrificed his family so that he can have more time in the ministry. You know, and so those are the two events or stories that Steve had. And at a young stage in our church, he's imparted to our leaders na, you know, we will never build a church like that. We will always prioritize family. And I think you see that in our culture. Diba? What an appreciation. Diba? Kasi mas nauna pa nga sa atin, even before the professional culture, organizational culture came in, we are very strong in the relational aspect. Okay? Dati, mom and pop operation tayo. Okay? Wala tayong pakialam sa professionalism, okay? Because, you know, we were a small number of people, diba? We were just, 1,000? 2,000 max no, 1992. Pero as we grew, then we started bringing in the professionals. May change. But we never let go of the core value of relationships and family. We kept it close to our hearts. Okay, and so John Maxwell, and I quote from him, he said, "When a leader puts his family first, the community benefits. But when a leader puts the community first, both his family and the community suffer." That's why I believe dapat talaga unahin natin yung family. But of course, we know how it is, right? There's a tension, there's a balance. You know, I was sitting down with my pastors because sometimes you can also use your family as an excuse not to go to work. Iba rin naman yun, di ba? Huwag ka lang pumasok pag ganun, di ba? Go look for another job. You cannot do that in any organization, di ba? We strike a balance there. But when it comes to prioritizing, it's all about prioritizing, not perfection. You don't have a perfect family, but it's a priority that you have, di ba? When we know that pagkatapos ng work, then really devote your time with your family. That's why I think ang maganda sa atin ngayon is we've defined our work hours. Di ba? Pag sinabi mo ang 8-hour work day, then go to work for 8 hours, give everything you've got in that 8 hours, and then when you go home, give everything you've got to your family. Don't bring home work. Di ba? Kailangan sa bahay, focus ka na sa mga bata. But I guess the singles cannot relate, no? Kayo yung lagi ng utusan, even at home. Overtime ka sa bahay. So, but you know, somehow, you know, that's why we tell our pastors, pagka uwi nyo sa bahay, then focus na on the family, because that's why we need to be more productive in the office. Okay, are you still okay? Still here? Just tell me kung kailan tayo magbe-break, Ms. Giselle. Okay. In Victory, we believe the family is the foundation and validation of all ministry and services. Therefore, we review. Okay. We're done with that. Psalm 127, verse 1. Very familiar text for us, scripture. For those of you who've been through a lot of baby dedication, these are usual texts. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Verse 3, sons, and I believe even daughters, are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. So we can see here that children really is a blessing. It's a gift from God, diba? It's something that's entrusted to us as parents. And if you are a parent here, I think you will agree with me on that. No? That though sometimes mahirap, diba? I think when they came in, and I see Belle here who's gonna have her first child. Kailan ka ba, Jude, Belle? September? Yan. Exciting, eh, di ba? Pagka may first baby ka, exciting yan, di ba? Tapos bibili ka ng damit, di ba? Bibili ka ng mga gamit, di ba? Exciting yan, di ba? But, you know the reality of, you know, parenting, it will change your life, definitely. It will change your time management. It'll change the way you do budgets. Pero welcome to the club. Di ka na tinatakot. Pero it's a joy. No? Parenting is a joy. But it also is, sacrifice. Marami ring sakripisyo. Na ano, there's a lot of things that I don't get to do because I choose to spend my time with my family. Okay, how I wish I could run more and do bike more and do, alam mo yon yung, and spend more time with the other guys. But you know, there are times talaga na hindi na kaya. Eh. You know, I only have 24 hours in my day. You know, after my relationship with my God, prioritizing Him, then my wife, then my kids. Talagang limitado. And then you've got work. And then you've got some personal stuff. And then that's the basically your day. Hebrews 11, verse 7, it talks about Noah. Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. And this is really a nice scripture to look at because, you know, the calling of Noah is to basically save the world. And when God appointed Noah to build this ark, you know, it was designed so that he can start over. But in his calling, we will see that it was not in competition with the family. In fact, his calling is in conjunction with the saving of his family. When he saved the world, he also saved the family. But when he built the ark to start all over again, he used that same ministry, the same platform that he had in order to save his family. Because I believe family and ministry or family and career should never, you know, be in competition with each other. But dapat pareho-pareho yun, di ba? Or magkasama yun. In fact, in Genesis 7:1, the instruction of God to him is, go into the ark, you and your family. Di ba? It's you and your family. It's, the family is always included in the calling of God. That's why it's kind of hard for me, you know, as I read biographies of, you know, great Christian leaders, pastors, missionaries, you know, those guys who went to South Africa, those guys who went to China, those guys, you know, during the turn of the century, and how they have somehow sacrificed their family. Para hindi ko malunok, okay, that you can actually do that. That's why, you know, you see the way we do things in every nation, di ba? When we would send our team, we would send them not by individuals, but as a family unit. Di ba? No matter how young their kids are, di ba? We'll send them, we'll pray for them, we'll support them. We'll make sure that we are standing behind them. I was talking yesterday to the mom of Tina and mother-in-law ni Save from U-Belt, because I think they're going for about 5-6 months to Tacloban. And sabi sa akin ng mom ni Tina, Pastor, medyo, you know, I'm a bit concerned. Sabi ko, bakit? Eh, kasi baby pa tong anak nila eh. And, you know, they're going already to a place na devastation. Sabi ko, okay lang man ang Tacloban. Hindi naman, wala namang Abu Sayyaf doon tsaka mga MLF. O nga lang, sira nga lang. Pero, you know, they're in the process of rebuilding. And I think this is the best time for your children to be there and minister in the campus, no? Kasi nga, they're campus missionaries. And, but yet, you know, we're sending them as a family unit. And even though they still have a baby, I think less than 1 year old yata yung baby. Is that right? Or two na ba? Two. So, baby pa, toddler. Pero, you know, the support is there, no? And so, I believe that's the priority that we have, and that's the core value that we have as a ministry. Okay, and you look at Noah. I think the big difference between Noah is he's really respected with the people who knew him, the most, which is his family, and he's not respected outside. Siyempre, siguro nga, he's being persecuted because, you know, why will you build an ark in this sunny day or whatever, di ba? And so the people hated him. Whereas I think the difference with Lot, you've probably heard of this story, di ba? Lot is the nephew of Abraham. And when he went to Sodom, his own family did not believe that God is going to pour out judgment on that city. No? The very people that he should actually be ministering to are the people who did not believe him when he was giving them a warning that God is about to destroy the city. Yet he was respected in the city gate because he was, I think, one of the elders there. And I'd rather be respected in my own home than outside. Of course, the best scenario is you're respected in both, di ba? Yun naman talaga tayo, di ba? So, and I think as pastors, our calling is we need to have a good reputation both inside and outside, you know, our ministry. And so,